Blog Talk Radio.
Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture. Somebody get paid just to polish it. Look the devil right in the eyes and won't acknowledge it. For some it's automatic that they turn into some college kids. But my kind won't make it out the hood without a scholarship. Faced with adversity that some will never understand. Why be in denial when you know you had the upper hand? Plan used to rally downtown in my city, and you wonder why the race relationship so shitty? Show no pity, that's the motto of the PC. It ain't just my city, it's all over the TV. Martin Luther King, I think about the dream he had for a nation that turned him less than 6 feet. And I ain't saying that the government sent a hit, but the timing show make it a coincidence. I try to see the big picture through a small frame and never take no wooden nickels when they all
homie,
change.
I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see
the big picture's worth a thousand words. So when your words ain't visible, it cause concern. I live and learn to the point where I can see it coming. The loudest mouth in the room ain't really about nothing. That nigga bluffing, check his resume, it ain't legit. You know the one that bought the ocean but ain't got a ship. You know the one that bought the sixes but ain't got a whip. You know the one that bought the Tech 9 and ain't got a clip. These boys a trip, I done heard it all, seen it all before. Boys be more like shaved ice when they claim they Tony Snow. Say they Don Juan and got passport bitches. But why you in the club with them trash bags with you? Say you out there ballin' and you're coming up quick, but it ain't worth having things if you can't own shit. MC Bree told you ain't no future, no frontin'. Keep that shit to Birdman with all of that stunt. Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture.
All right. Welcome. Welcome to the Panther Party Radio Network. This is The Big Picture with Melvin Sherry Jr. And tonight, I have a treat for the people. First of all, let me welcome all of my listeners as usual. My listeners in Nigeria, my listeners in Germany, my listeners Canada, my listeners in the States as well. I love you brothers and sisters, and I always appreciate you tuning in. For all my online listeners tonight who may want to call in and be part of this conversation, the call-in number is 914-205-5538. And let me welcome my Activate Radio listeners in Boston, Mass. As usual, on Monday nights, this is when we do it. And you are always welcome to call in and be a part of the live broadcast as well. We rebroadcast this show on Activate Radio, activatemedia.org, on Fridays at 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And I've been rolling with you guys for a few months. I haven't heard any complaints, and I just appreciate you all listening and making me a part of that family as well. But tonight on the show, I have the pleasure of welcoming, and I'm not going to do no big intros like I generally do. I'm not going to take a lot of time because I see that I've got people on the line and I see that my brother is ready and waiting, and I'm going to let him introduce himself. Before I do that, I want to thank everyone that's tuning in tonight, and as always, for listening. Again, that call-in number is 914-205-5538. When you call in, you can just listen, or you can be a part of this conversation, a part of the change, by pressing 1. And I'm knowing that you're in the queue, and I'm knowing that you're ready to speak, but I know that I have a brother ready to speak tonight. And I'm going to give a brief introduction of what I know about the brother. I love the younger spirits that see the need for the fight. I love the younger spirits that understand what needs to be done. And I connected with this brother through a friend of mine, a brother of mine, a comrade of mine, because I consider everybody that I meet in this struggle a brother, a comrade, because you all know me by now. I'm always black first. And then when we can get that working, everything else is going to work for us, because that's the focus of this particular platform and of this particular show. You know the big picture. And we've got to see the big picture for us. So this brother, General Q, that I had the pleasure of speaking with for the first time a couple of days ago, and the conversation was rich. The conversation was positive. The conversation that we all need to be having at this particular point in the junction. And this brother's focus is from the political aspect, which I can appreciate, because I feel that our local politics need to be changed in order to affect our national political standing. And also, we should recognize our power, especially after this last election that was held nationally, and how Georgia was able to be flipped from a red state to a blue state. And I want to throw this in here before I open up the mics. We need each other out here. Don't matter where you're from. What matters is where you're at. And what matters is seeing the problem and addressing it. And without me doing any more babbling, I'm going to open up my brother General Q, and I'm going to let him introduce himself, and I'm going to give the floor to him. Welcome to the big picture, brother. This is what we've been waiting on. I'm going to also open up 1941, and 1941, I just asked that that we let Brother General Q say his piece, and then this is a open mic format tonight. I just want us to all be respectful of the person talking, and when you are done making your statement, brother, so that we'll all know and so that everybody can join in, ask questions, just ask that you yield the mic, and that way we'll all know when we can speak and address and make general comments. But welcome to the show, and the floor is yours, brother.
Peace and Black Power, family. I want to thank you, brother Melvin, for allowing me, myself, I'm General Celestine of the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, brought along my dear brother, Field Marshal Jetson. We have some things on our mind, Brother Melvin. We've been speaking about the big picture, and to the folks here in the States and abroad, I want to say thank you for joining in. Thank you for taking your time out to join us. But what Brother Melvin, I believe, is talking about when in terms of the big picture is the fact that we are always told that we are the minority in this country, that we are some odd percent. So being that that's not true, when we look at the bigger picture, we have a whole world full of black, beautiful, bold, and brilliant brothers and sisters, comrades in arms, kings and queens and elders, and we stand on shoulders. I would be remiss if I didn't mention our brother, Othar Wallace, and I want to encourage everyone on the call to get familiar with his case. The brother is facing the death penalty there in the state of Florida. See, here in the revolutionary movement, self-defense is non-negotiable, people. Mickey Mouse could show up to you and aggress you, and you have a right to defend yourself. So a badge, a gun, and a license to kill black people at will in this country, it won't be tolerated. It hasn't been tolerated by those of us who espouse revolutionary principles and values, live by these. This is not some event. This is not a playground. Welcome to political education class. Class is in session. And with that, I want to go ahead and offer the mic to my field marshal, Jetson, and so he could go ahead and read our 10-point platform. It's a political agenda that we should all be familiar with. It has not gone away. The effectiveness has not ever been questioned. In fact, the system, as it is, comes after those of us who are most affected, not because we in and of ourselves as individuals are powerful, but somehow we are able to inspire others to action on the part of their own survival pending revolution. And with that, Field Marshal Jetson.
Peace and blessings, General. Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. Black Panther
yes,
platform.
Sir. You're coming through loud.
Black Panther platform. All right. Blessings to you, Elder. What we want, what we believe. Number one, we want freedom. We want power to determine the destiny of our black community. We believe that black people will not be free until we are able to determine our destiny. Number two, we want full employment for our people. We believe that the federal government is responsible and obligated to give every man employment or a guaranteed income. We believe that if the white American businessman will not give full employment, then the means of production should be taken from the businessman and placed in the community so that the people of the community can organize and employ all of its people and give a high standard of living. Number three, we want to end to the robbery by the white man of our black community. We believe that the racist government has robbed us, and now we are demanding the overdue debt of 40 acres and two mules. 40 acres and two mules was promised 100 years ago as restitution for slave labor and mass murder of black people. We will accept the payment as currency, which will be distributed to our many communities. The Germans are now aiding the Jews in Israel for the genocide of the Jewish people. The Germans murdered 6 million Jews. The American racists have taken part in the slaughter of over 20 million black people. Therefore, we feel that this is a modest demand that we make. Number four, we want decent housing, built for shelter for human beings. We believe that if a white landlord will not give decent housing to our black community, then the housing and the land should be made into corporatives, so that our community, with government aid, can build a decent housing for its people. Number five, we want education for our people that exposes the true nature of the decadent American society. We want education that teaches us our true history and our role in the present-day society. We believe that in the education system that we give to our people a knowledge of self. If a man does not have knowledge of himself and his position in society and the world, then he has little chance to relate to anything else. Number six, we want all black men to be exempt from military service. We believe that black people should not be forced to fight in the military service to defend the racist government that does not protect us. We will not fight and kill other people of color in the world who, like black people, are being victimized by the white racist government of America. We will protect ourselves from the force and violence of the racist police and racist military by whatever means necessary. Ashe. Number 7, we want an immediate end to police brutality and murder of black people. We believe we can end police brutality in our black community by organizing black self-defense groups that are dedicated to defending our black community from racist police oppression and brutality. The Second Amendment to the Constitution of the United States gives us the right to bear arms. We therefore believe that all black people should arm themselves in self-defense. Number 8, we want freedom for all black men held in federal, state, county, and city prisons or jails. We believe that black people should be released from many jails and prisons because they have not received a fair and impartial trial. Number 9, we want all black people, when brought to trial, to be tried in a court by a jury of our peer group of people from the black communities as defined by the Constitution of the United States. We believe that the court should follow the United States Constitution so that black people will receive fair trials. The 14th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution gives a man the right to be tried by his peer group. A peer is a person from a similar economic, social, religious, geographical, environmental, historical, and racial background. To do this, the court will be forced to select a jury from the black community from which the black defendant came. We have been and are being tried by all white juries that have no understanding of the average reasoning man of the black community. Number 10, we want land, bread, housing, education, clothing, justice, and peace. And as our major political objective, the United Nations supervised to be held throughout the black colony, in which only black colonial subjects will be allowed to participate for the purpose of determining the will of black people as their national destiny. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them to another, and to assume, among the powers of the earth, the separate and equal station of which the laws of nature and the nature's God entitle them. A decent respect for the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by the Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, derive their just powers from the consent of governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive in of these ends, in the right of the people to alter and abolish them, and to institute a new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form, as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prejudice, indeed, will dictate the governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes, and accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer, while evils are sufferable, than to right themselves by abolishing the forms of which they are being accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, invents a design to reduce them under absolute despotism. It is their right, it is their duty, to throw off such government and to provide new guards for the future of society. Security. Sorry.
Thank you, Field Marshal. Sure appreciate that. Long live the spirit of the Panther. All power to the people.
Black power.
Okay. This week, and I just kind of want to go over my experience here for the audience here. I'm a revolutionary. I was born a prisoner of war. Any black person, any non-white person born in the United States, you're a prisoner of war. Should we go behind walls of greater confinement? We are merely behind walls of greater confinement. So let us throw off the spirit of fear and operate in the perfect love that this revolutionary movement and this historical struggle calls for. With that, I want to go ahead and go into our topic for tonight. Teaching political education class is something I've been doing for the past 5 years. Generally speaking, twice a year, in order to be considered for membership into any formation that I have charge of, a purview over, or say in, it's required that you have at least 6 weeks of this. It's where the rubber meets the road, people. It's where the gangster mentality, if the individual is sincere in changing that destructive mentality into a revolutionary mentality and become constructive and begin to uplift and demonstrate love for, educate, inform, empower our people, then anyone could make that leap. Learning curve, though, be patient with yourself. We all learn something new today. And even though today I sit in the teacher's chair, I have no fear. I learn more from the family, the black nation that we are amongst right now, than anything I've ever taught. So thank you all for being present. And I'll go ahead with the topic for discussion. And that's the warrior's ethics. So that's going to be the main topic. But first of all, I want to discuss with you all the reason why it's important to have the warrior's spirit. We don't get no rewards. There's no trophies for what we do. We don't get big parades, you know, like if you sign up for Uncle Sam, you know, hey, you want to serve the country. No, some of us, when we come home, some of us, when we come to our senses and stop being destructive to our community, decide, hey, look, man, we're going to do something positive. I'm tired of tearing down my own hood. And we realize that there has to be a switch that flips because our street organizations are important. I've never dismissed our brothers and sisters who were coming from that lifestyle and all that it entails. The fire that burns in your belly, we need that. Don't put away that anger. Let that fire burn. We need that. Join an organization, as I have many years ago, and realize that using that anger, that fire, in a constructive, organized fashion could only result in effective and lasting change in any area you come in contact with, that's at the job, that's at the schoolhouse, that's when you're purchasing a home. And I encourage home ownership. I encourage business ownership. I encourage community policing, getting to know our neighbors, getting to know who belongs in the neighborhood and who don't. Check out the local sex offender list, and please study your local, state, and federal laws at all times. Now, one of our main objectives as revolutionaries, in particular as Panthers, is to inform the people, to educate the people with the tools necessary in order so that they can liberate themselves. See, this isn't putting on a cake like Superman, you go in the booth and you come out and da-da, Mr. Panther. No, 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 no. This is not, that's not what we do. We spread information because we come to political education class. And then we are armed with the knowledge that's necessary in order to walk out this struggle. I want to recognize our dear elder, Angela Davis, when she said, when one takes up the struggle, when you take up the struggle, it must be for a lifetime. So for those of us who can hear my voice, the only thing I can tell you about being a person of conscience, knowing what's right, knowing what's wrong, you get a good night's sleep being associated with us. I mean, you know, some folks have misconceptions about the danger of revolutionary political activism and community volunteerism and what that all entails. And I understand there's been a lot of misinformation, propaganda I put out there for so many years. And that's also a part of the social conditions. But here is where we address those issues and inform you. So here we go. We shall struggle and organize against all forms of racism and discrimination against black people in the region, in the regional, federal, state, and local government, racism, corporate racism, consumer racism, police discrimination, housing discrimination, racist discrimination in general. The Black Panther Party, we're the vanguard, folks. We're the tip of the spear, yes, even today. Many of the organizations, the black liberation organizations now today still use and operate and are built on that the same 10-point platform that our dear Field Marshal just read to us. Being the vanguard, we must be vigilant defenders of our people's divine, human, and legal rights. To this end, we work and call on black legal organizations, attorneys, black activists, pastors, preachers, churches, organizations, and leadership of every black stripe. See, we black first over here. See, I'm black, and then I'm black, and then I'm a man, and then I'm black, and then I work, and then I'm black, and then I'm a this, and then I'm a that. But we insist that to come into and join our ranks, that brothers, you got to be a man before anything, okay? We got to get in that mirror and ask ourselves, are we comfortable? You know, just being scared? Are we being the men that our children would be proud of, that our wives, our mothers, our fathers could be proud of? Or are we just going along to get along? I'm not asking, this is a rhetorical question. This is something for each and every one of us on this line, each and every one of us in this class.
I say.
So every black stripe to join with us against the evils of racism, inequality, and injustice. All power to the people.
Black power.
Okay? Black power. So that is the general tenet for why our spirits are so necessary. And by no means are we looking down on our folks in some charitable, bleeding heart sort of way. No, this is not charity. You know, our dear founder, co-founder Bobby Phil said it best. You know, this ain't charity, this solidarity. We in this struggle with you. We probably bleeding from some of the same wounds that the tentacles of this system has injured us with. It's personal for me. It's personal. I'll be the first to admit it. I couldn't in good conscience allow everything that I was afraid to lose. And I've already lost, you know, that which I was afraid to lose. So everything I was afraid of already happened. So, you know, I guess it's kind of like, okay, well, damn, okay, well, I understand why y'all scared, but do you want to wait till after you lose your freedom? You want to wait till after you lose rights to your children? You want to wait until after you, your children, our elders, God forbid, our mothers, our fathers, our uncles, our aunts, our family members, our friends, lose their lives or have to join us in a club that nobody's particularly proud to be a member of? See, this system makes and creates, it is the incubator for folks like us, because the injustice sometimes it calls to one's the inner workings of a person's character. See, unless and until we are living up to the true nature of our spirits, family, we are not paying our just due back for to the community that did produce us. So with the warrior ethics, I'm gonna start off with the conduct of the warrior, the rules of discipline, warriorship, and then I'll finish off with the ethics. So here we are. There are 13 points of conduct. Speak politely. Pay fairly for what you buy. Return everything you borrow. Pay for everything you damage. Pay for anything you damage. Do not hit or swear at the people. And when I say the people, because I want to clarify that, the people are brothers and sisters just like me and you. We are the people. All power to the people. Those of us who have such a spirit that we could lend that strength. We can stand up for ourselves. We good with that. We're not tripping on that. We don't have no complex. You know, some folks walk around with a bit of an insecurity complex. We love our people, but we understand we too suffer from the toxicity of the social engineering and the social conditioning that has been passed down from generation to generation. So let us be a little kinder when we speak to one another, regardless of whether or not we met before.
Okay.
Like power.
Like power.
Okay. So do not damage the property or the crops of the poor and oppressed masses. Do not take liberties with women. Always guide and protect the children. Remember, you are the servant of the people. Never forget that every revolutionary act is an act of love and respect.
Hey.
Shay. Live by honor. And when the time presents itself, die by honor. And I will go one further. Be willing to kill on that hill first. We do enough dying as it is. Let somebody else die. Let the enemy fall on his own sword. That's why we insist and we train day after day, month after month, year after year, educating the black man and the black woman in self-defense. Never let a day pass that you have not allowed time for your training. And I include study with that as well, because training is part study, theory, and practice. Theory, practice, theory, practice, the red book. I'm and if I get a chance this week, I'll be able to share some of our book lists, because there's some books that you have to get your hands on, or you would like to get your hands on if you want to become a more effective leader. We don't make followers. We make leaders more effective leaders, more efficient operators in this struggle. Remember that at all times, you are representing the Black Panther Party.
I say.
Before you do anything, remember that. And you know, and if you're doing something, if you're out there in the street, because I understand, you know, street organizations, you know, our brothers and sisters are here, you're welcome, you know, to be here. And most of our ranks are filled with brothers and sisters just like you. We only require 6 weeks of your time, so you can become more effective in whatever line of leadership you all are carrying out. These are the three main rules of discipline. Obey orders in all your actions. Do not take a single needle or piece of thread from the poor and oppressed masses. Turn in everything captured from the attacking enemy. Those are the discipline rules. Now we're going to go ahead and get into the meat and potatoes. The seven professional warrior ethics. Never let anyone outside the family know what you are thinking. Number two, never allow your facial expressions to betray you in times of conflict. Number three, if one wishes to rise above mere thuggery, a military commander must be classically educated in philosophy, history, and the arts. Number four, if you are the anvil, be patient. If you're the hammer, strike. If you must strike a man, do it so brutally that you need not fear his rage. Number six, a person who cannot control his anger is like a home with no doors. The thief will come in and rob you of everything you have. Number seven, a Panther's domain is in the Black community. Stray from it reluctantly and rarely. When you do, strike fast and merge back into your surroundings. And with that's the information, the uplift, the edification, the empowerment part. Brother Melvin, if you would, yes, we could go ahead with the question and answer portion of our political education. Your radio program here. And I'd be happy to field questions. Field Marshal Jetson would be happy to field any questions anyone has. And thank you for your time. Peace and Black Power.
All right. Right on. I got another microphone that I'm going to open up. But I'm going to take a brief break. And before I take that break, I want to thank you, brothers, for joining me, joining the show, and bringing your message to the platform. It's always appreciated. And not only that, it's needed. And we need more young men in this fight. as we were speaking earlier. So I am going to take a brief break, and I'm going to open up the other microphones, and after that break, the microphones will be open, and we will be able to speak freely. All that I ask is when someone is speaking, respect the voice that is speaking, and once that person is finished speaking, the mics are open, and everyone is welcome to join in, make comments. This is the Panther Party Radio Network, and this is The Big Picture with Brother Melvin Siri Jr., and we will be back after this brief break. Peace, power, and love.
Yeah, but the question is, Molly, how do you get there? Do you get there by confrontation, violence?
Oh, is that the question you were asking?
Yeah.
See, that's another thing. When you talk about a revolution, most people think violence. Without realizing that the real content of any kind of revolutionary thrust lies in the principles and the goals that you're striving for, not in the way you reach them. On the other hand, because of the way this society is organized, because of the violence that exists on the surface everywhere, you have to expect that there are going to be such explosions. You have to expect things like that as reactions. If you are a black person and live in the black community all your life and walk out on the street every day seeing white policemen surrounding you, when I was living in Los Angeles, for instance, long before the situation in L.A. ever occurred, I was constantly stopped. No, the police didn't know who I was, but I was a black woman. And I had a natural, and they, I suppose, thought that I might be a, quote, militant. And when you live under a situation like that constantly, and then you ask me, you know, whether I approve of violence. I mean, that just doesn't make any sense at all. Whether I approve of guns. I grew up in Birmingham, Alabama. Some very, very good friends of mine were killed by bombs that were planted by racists. I remember from the time I was very small, I remember the sounds of bombs exploding across the street, our house shaking. I remember my father having to have guns at his disposal at all times because of the fact that at any moment we might expect to be attacked. The man who was at that time in complete control of the city government, his name was Bull Connor, would often get on the radio and make statements like, niggers have moved into a white neighborhood, we better expect some bloodshed tonight. And sure enough, there would be bloodshed. After the four young girls one of them lived next door to me. I was very good friends with the sister of another one. My sister was very good friends with all three of them. My mother taught one of them in her class. My mother, in fact, when the bombing occurred, one of the mothers of one of the young girls called my mother and said, can you take me down to the church to pick up Carol? We heard about the bombing, and I don't have my car. And they went down, and what did they find? They found limbs and heads strewn all over the place. And then after that, in my neighborhood, all of the men organized themselves into an armed patrol. They had to take their guns and patrol our community every night because they did not want that to happen again. I mean, that's why when someone asked me about violence, I just find it incredible. What it means is that the person who's asking that question has absolutely no idea what black people have gone through, what black people have experienced in this country since the time the first black person was kidnapped from the shores of Africa.
All right, welcome back to the Panther Party Radio Network. This is The Big Picture with Brother Melvin Siri Jr. That was my comrade, Sister Angela Davis, whom I admire, whom I cherish as one of the soldiers, one of the warrior queens in this fight. And the particular incident she was speaking on that happened in Birmingham, if I can take just a minute. And then I want to give my brother a chance to speak. I see he's also joined the call. And then also I'm going to open up microphone 8680. And after I give my brother Kevin the chance to speak, 8680, if you are wanting to get in on the conversation and discussion and make a comment, please press 1 so that I can see you in the queue and I'll know that you want to speak. But back to the comments that my sister was making, I was fortunate, and I say fortunate, even through the tragic situation that entailed at the 16th Street Baptist Church. About a month and a half ago, in my travels, going up and down the highways like I do, I've been trying to make time to visit some of these sites and some of these particular places where incidents happened to us, and I was fortunate enough to be able to stop and experience, and I'm going to say experience, the 16th Street Baptist Church. I took numerous pictures, and there's a lot of history right there on three corners there in Birmingham, because you have the 16th Street Baptist Church, and across from that on the opposite corner you have the Birmingham Civil Rights Museum. And across on the other corner you have Fitz Park, where Martin Luther King Jr., Jesse Jackson, which I'm going to leave my comments to myself about him. But these are historical sites. And when I stepped up on the corner, and I have pictures of it, there is a marker where the bomb was placed. And at that marker, you have still to this day on that brick at Birmingham, in Birmingham, Alabama, at the 16th Street Baptist Church, you have the blast marks from that same package that this devil sat there and killed those four girls. And I'm just going to tell you what it was for me personally, because personally, when I stepped on that corner, I'm going to take it even before that. When we rounded the corner and I saw the church, I knew where I was at, because I've saw that church numerous times on documentaries and whatnot. So when we rounded that corner and I saw that huge building and the pictures that we see on TV doesn't really give you the parameters and the size of that church and why devils wanted to blow that church up, because it housed a lot of us, I imagine, on every Sunday, and I imagine on every Wednesday, and I imagine on any day that those church doors were open, because we were more functional and we were more together then. So that church was, especially in Birmingham, that church was a home to many, I'm sure. And that tragic event that happened, when I stepped up on that corner, I felt it. And some of you on this line will know exactly what I'm talking about, because the ancestors were talking to me. Those four little girls were talking to me. And this is why I have the passion that I have for this fight, This is why I have the passion that I have for this war that we are involved in. And my passion is serious. My passion is not about where I can get, who I can meet, because, see, I want to stay the same plain person that I am now, just like Sister Angela, just like Sister Ashada, just like my brother Medgar Evers, just like my brother Fred Hampton, just like all the rest of the brothers before me. I want to stay genuine to who I am first as Melvin Seary Jr., because then I can be authentic to this movement. Then I can be beneficial to this movement. And if we don't realize anything else, we have to realize that we have a part to play individually as well as collectively. The collective benefit, we need to realize that. And like I always say on every show, we need each other. We need each other more now than ever. And in the preceding months, we're going to need each other even more. And that's why we have to get serious about what's happening to us. Because what's happening to us right now in this country, and not just this country, but globally, is genocide. And we can't continue to participate in that same genocide. See, we can't participate in the divide and the conquer. We have to learn how to be more compassionate with each other. We have to learn how to love each other. And like my brother always says, my brother Kevin, and I'm going to bring him on in just a moment. I can't wait to hear what he has to say. But we have to give each other the benefit of the doubt. We can't continue to give this system the benefit of the doubt, because this system don't give us nothing for that vote but that little white damn sticker. I keep telling my people this. Because Joe Biden ain't gave us nothing, and Kamala Harris ain't gave us nothing, and not willing to give us nothing. And now what we're fixing to witness is another injustice, because the trial of Ahmaud Arbery is about to start. They started the jury selection today. That's why it's important for us to get involved. If we don't do nothing else, get involved, because what ain't at your doorstep today will make it to your damn doorstep if you ain't doing nothing to keep it off of it. See, we so worried about fitting in and going along to get along that we forget about what's really beneficial to us. And that's what we have to worry about, because, see, this right here, what I'm doing, this is not for fame. This is not for popularity. This is not for money, because I don't get paid for none of this. I just love doing it. And I love trying to wake up my people, because that's what it's all about. And if I can't love my brother, I don't love myself. If I don't love my sister, I don't love myself, because I am what I see. And see, I see potential. I see resilience. I see drive. I see we need to, like you said earlier, brother, we have got to work on giving hope back. And we give hope back to our children going to take it to a whole nother level, because they weaker, but they wiser. And why are they weaker? Because we not guiding them. And that's what we've got to do in this particular atmosphere. We got to be the wisdom. We got to give them the knowledge. And I'm going to be quiet. And I'm going to let my brother Kevin jump in real quick. And microphone number 8680, if you want to jump in on the comments conversation, please press 1. And I'll see you in the host queue. And I will open up your mic and let you join in. But my brother, my comrade, the mic is yours. If you have anything to say, I'm done. Peace, and thank you for joining, brother.
Peace, brother. I'm not gonna be on too long. Really, just more out of statement. Our people have a lot of issues already, you know, and our job as activists, civic-minded folks, revolutionaries, whatever, is to not add to the burden, but to do what we can to lighten it where we can, to protect them from further or future burden where we can, and to teach them and empower them how to protect themselves and theirs, and to teach them the same thing. And while, you know, I used to be pretty closed-minded about, you know, where people could get information from or whether they should get it from here or there or whatever, but what I've learned over the years was that the object is for them to start to want to expand their knowledge base and to learn how to use that to their benefit and to teach others how to do the same thing. You know, revolutionary acts of love truly should be that, not anything other than that. If there's anything else attached to it, then that's not love, then that's an agenda. And at least be honest about whatever your agenda is, so that this way people are making a fair judgment on you and where you're headed, so that that way they know if they want to go or if they don't. What I do appreciate about the different Panther groups that are out there is that I really believe that all of them, whatever their intent is, that I like to believe all of their motives are, you know, civic-minded, community first, people first, our people, you know. But we also have to remember, you know, that not everybody levels up at the same rate. You know, so this guy, we have to be cautious while we're being conscious sometimes so that we don't step on a toe or lose somebody because we kind of didn't think about how we were approaching it. You know, so I would just encourage us all to try to, you know, be a little bit more human with your brothers and to give ourselves the benefit of the doubt. As long as we clean out our own closet, then we can help other people clean out theirs. With that, I'm a year.
My brother, I, yeah, clean it out closet, sweeping around your own front porch. And I brought up that same point the other day because I said that until we can fix ourselves internally, we can't even affect what's bothering us externally, you know. So, oh, powerful words, 8680, your microphone is open. Welcome, and thank you for calling in and listening. Brother Kevin, thank you for calling in. Brother, you know it ain't nothing but love, peace, power, and love. And all power to the people, always, brother, with you. You know, you the reason that I'm getting stronger, brother. You the reason I'm getting stronger. So 8680, your microphone is open, and the floor is yours.
Hey, peace to the family. I hope you can hear me okay.
No problem.
Am I coming through?
Black Mountain, yes, I hear you fine. I hear you fine, brother.
Okay. No, I was really not sure what your topic was tonight. I have been listening though. If it's about, you know, different groups, is that what the subject is about tonight?
Go ahead, brother.
Tonight's political education topic is the warrior's ethics. It's what I went through. I went through articulating the 13 points of conduct, the three main disciplines, and the seven warrior ethics. What's your name, brother? What you calling
me? Brother Ozzy. I'm sorry. This is Brother Ozzy. It's been a minute since I've been on, so I figured it's Monday night, and I had a chance to be able to get on, so I just decided to call in tonight.
Yeah, appreciate you calling in, Brother Ozzy. Right on.
Yeah,
I recognized your number. I was waiting on you to hit the button so I could open up your microphone. I appreciate you calling in. But, yeah, it's political. It's a political topic tonight. And the brothers covered a lot of information before you even called in on the line tonight.
I caught the tail end of it.
Right. Exactly.
I'd be happy to go over a quick overview or a summary just to catch the entire class.
Okay.
And just to kind of do an overview.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, do that then, brother. Yeah.
Okay. Give me one moment here.
I'll run them down for you if you like, General.
Please do. Thank you, Field Marshal.
No problem. Can everybody hear me? All right. What the general was going over was the code of conduct, basically how we conduct ourselves in the streets when dealing with our people. Give me just a second. I'm pulling them up right now.
Okay. Yeah. So it's 13.5. The seven warrior ethics, the three main rules of discipline, and the position of service to our people. And I went through, the how to defend and where is it important to defend the black, our people's rights in general. That means in terms of federal, local, state government, the racism that is the social norm of the day, be it at the job, as a consumer, dealing with the race soldiers, the pigs, and dealing with the legislative and so-called justice system.
Okay.
Housing discrimination.
I'm ready when you are, General.
Okay, yeah, you got it, Field Marshal.
All right, number one, Black Power. Number one, speak politely. Number two, pay fairly for what you buy. Number three, return everything you borrow. Number four, pay for anything you damage. Number five, do not hit or swear at the people. Number six, do not damage the property or crops of the poor oppressed masses. Number seven, do not take liberties without women. Number eight, always guide and protect the children. Number nine, remember you are a servant of the people. Number 10, never forget that every revolutionary act is an act of love and respect. Number 11, live by honor. And when the time presents itself, die by honor. Number 12, never let a day pass that you are not allowed time for training. Number 13, remember at all times that you are representing the Black Panther Party. And then we have the seventh professional warrior ethics. Number one would be never let anyone outside the family know what you are thinking. That's a whole nother level of discipline. Number two, never allow our facial expressions to betray you in times of conflict. Number three, if one wishes to rise above mere thuggery, a military commander must be classically educated in philosophy, history, and the arts. Number four, if you are an anvil, be patient. And if you are a hammer, strike. Number five, if you strike a man, do it so brutally that you have no need to fear his rage. Number six, a person who cannot control his anger is like a home with no doors. The thief will come in and rob you of everything you have. Number seven, a Panther's domain is the Black community. Stray from it reluctantly. When you do, strike fast and merge back into your surroundings. Did you want me to go over the main rules of discipline?
Yes, please.
Three main rules of discipline. obey orders in all your actions. Number two, do not take a single needle or piece of thread from the poor and oppressed masses. And number three is turn in everything captured from the attacking enemy.
Black power, long live the spirit of the Panther.
Black power.
Yes, brother, would you have any questions with regards to the conduct, the discipline, the ethics involved? We also, Field Marshal Justin opened us up with the 10-point platform. I'm not sure we want to reiterate all 10 of those at this point. This is the weekly
are they the same as the excuse me, brother? Are they the same as the original 10 points?
That yes, we are the original. It's the same same verbatim.
Okay.
October the 15th, 1966.
I'm familiar with those, so you don't have to go over them. But I do appreciate you all getting me caught up. All I can say is salute Black Power. That's all I can say.
Black Power.
So, people need to have the mindset and have to recognize that, you know, it does take discipline to do this sort of thing. You have to be disciplined. That's the main thing. Because, you know, sometimes you get cats out here and they forget where they are. They forget who they are, you know. And my thing is that if you're going to call yourself a Black Panther, then you have to represent at all times. You got to represent.
Okay.
So, you know, can't have people out here just wilding out and then wearing the badge of, you know, the Black Panther especially. You know, which is to be respected at all times. So with that, I'll yield.
Right on. And thank you.
Right on.
And that's precisely my brother in the Black Nation, Black family. That's precisely why Field Marshal Justin and I decided to go ahead and open up this series of class sessions in order to come into consideration for membership into our organization. And this is no hate group. We are a love group, okay? It's 6 weeks of political education, the same class that we're sitting in now, that are required. So those who have concerns about the principles, the tenets, the revolutionary veracity of what it is that's being said, the character, the spiritual makeup, the integrity, the honor, all of those different characteristics are spoken of, taught in political education so that we could know what to look for in order to appreciate and understand what it is that we're looking at. With that, Brother Melvin, I just want to say Black Power, all power to the people, and thank everybody for their
Black
time
power.
And energy. Black Power.
Black Power.
Right on. Peace, power, and love. Peace, power, and love. And my brother Ozzy, just so the brothers...
Yeah, I'm here.
Brother Ozzy is another one of my comrade brothers, and well-versed, and many years boots on the ground in the game, and that's why I like to link up with different brothers and different factions and different organizations, because like I was telling you on Saturday, my brother General Q, that, you know, it's really a Black First movement. It should always be a Black First movement. It should always be a movement that's about, like you say, empowering the people
And if the people are not moving forward, then the people are not progressing, and therefore I'm not moving forward. So like I was saying, we have to put the selfish state of mind beside ourselves and put the selfish, the selfless state of mind to work. It's about all of us, like I say, really coming together and working for the common cause of the people, because that's what it's really truly about. And like I've been saying for the last few weeks as well, it's more people, there's more power in the people than there is people in power. And when we realize that and really get an understanding for that, then we'll understand what we can really do as the people, because our power will never cease until we allow it to stop ceasing. And then we have never even really tapped into our power. So therefore, we don't even know what we can do. And that's my goal, like I was telling you earlier, and in our previous conversation, I'm about the black movement, plain and simple. It ain't no this and that and that and this. It is I'm black first. And as black people, we're dying. And like I brought up the case a minute ago with Ahmaud Arbery and this particular injustice that we're fixing to watch, because I'm intrigued by it. I'm interested to see what type of jury that they pick for it, because these are the type of things that drive me to do what I do, because until we can get linked up together and stay together long enough to make change and change the condition will remain the same. And see, the thing about it is, before Ahmaud Arbery happened, if we had came together and stayed together on something, Ahmaud Arbery might not have happened. Before Botham Jean happened, if we had came together and stayed together on something, maybe Botham Jean wouldn't have happened. Before Tatiana Jefferson happened, if we had stayed together, maybe a Tatiana Jefferson wouldn't happen, and so on and so on and so on. So that's my whole
Trayvon Martin
with this fight.
I see.
Exactly. You know, because honestly, brother Ozzy, that's where it began with me, honestly, because the system only escalated after that. And it seemed like after Trayvon Martin seemed like it started, exactly. You know, it started happening other week. Exactly. You know, and then his name name after name. And I've said this numerous times. I'm tired of saying names. I'm tired of hashtags remembering folks that should still be here. That should still be
here. If I may, Brother Harold.
And see, that's why I say, go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
That taps right back into number 9 of the 10-point platform of us being judged by a jury of our peers. We're in a position in this system, that's the best word I can possibly call it, in this system where when we go to trial, we're being judged by people who don't look like us. And when they go to trial, they're being judged by people who look like them. And if you have any understanding of what this system is, they already look at us as thugs, dissidents, heathens, whatever the word you want to use. So the killing of us and our children is justified. These officers go to trial time and time again after killing one of our people unjustly. We know it's unjust. And if they would have been judged by one of us, then they would have been held to account. But they get judged by a jury of their own peers while we don't get that benefit, which is why number 9 in the 10-point platform, being judged by a jury of your own peers, people from your own community, your own economic background, your own social economic standing, is so important. It just blows my mind that 40-plus years after the Panthers were formed, these words are still so relevant to what we're going through today. The white community likes to say how we made so much progress and everything's so much better, but we all know as black people in America and throughout the diaspora,
that we don't get the same justice as others. Oh, excuse me. Yeah, so I was just trying to say that's why these words, after all the time that they were written, still stand so true today, and that we still have work to do, because it makes perfect sense, but at the same time it makes no sense that these words that were written by the original Panthers, we're still fighting the same fight. And until we actually, like you said earlier, get on the same page and pull in our troops and actually start moving for our community, we're still going to be fighting the same fight. And I just feel like it's a beautiful thing to see brothers getting together from all over the country, all over the nation, all over the world on the same page. And maybe we can actually get a foothold on this thing we call white supremacy and finally kick that door down.
Well, one thing about it, brother, is that, you know, we as a people, we have to start taking responsibility too. When you get that notice for you to go to jury duty, you have to go. You have to go. Because my thing is that a lot of people either ignore that notice or they try to get out of going. And you don't realize the importance of, you know, what it is as far as being on that jury, being one of the 12. You know, even if you go and they kick you off, for whatever reason, I think that you should still go, you know, because that's the only way that we're going to, you know, start filling that jury box with people that look like us, is if we go. They're, of course, if they have their choice, they're not going to pick us. But if enough of us show up, they're not going to have a choice.
I agree with that completely. Am I talking to Brother Oz or Brother Kevin?
Yeah, this Brother Oz. This Brother Oz.
All right, Brother Oz. I agree with you completely. And I would say that steps into point number 5. We want an education for our people. If we were truly educated in how the system works, because that's what America does. They don't educate. They indoctrinate. And just listening
right,
to you,
right,
brothers, I know
right.
Y'all understand what I'm saying.
100%.
They don't educate us. They indoctrinate us, right? They just want good citizens. They don't want thinking, critical thinking people. So that goes into number 5 of us wanting an education for our people that is actually suitable for our people, teaching the real history, teaching the real truth, right? So if we understood the real history and we understood the real truth as black people, we would know how important it is for us to show up for jury duty, because we would know who on the other side of that gavel. You know what I'm saying? We would consider it more. See, that's the thing that they had in the 60s during the civil rights movement that has really been stripped from us today. The program and the agenda is, I'm going to fill your mind with so much, and excuse my French brothers, but I'm going to fill your mind with so much bullshit that you don't have time to critically think about what's really, really going on. That's why we got all these games and, you know what I'm saying, TV shows and music and all these things that are literally destructive to your brain, so you're not critically thinking about what's going on with your people. So when the time comes for us to show up to jury duty and the time comes for us to do our civic duty towards our own people, we don't even consider that important, because we too busy, right? We too busy being caught up in this and that. It's very rare that you find our people who know more about politics, local politics, national politics, or whatever you may have. It's very rare that you find our people who know more about these things that affect our everyday life than they know about football, or they know about baseball, or they know about basketball, or the new music videos, or the new shoes that's coming out, whatever you may have, right? When the Roman citizens were starting to get into an uproar because they were poor and they weren't being taken care of, the Caesars would give them games. They would open up the Colosseum and give them something to distract their mind so they're not thinking about what's going on with them. Now, we know what happened to Rome. Eventually it fell, and we know America is a sinking ship. But at the same time, they're doing the same thing. They're giving us games and distractions and
programs and videos and all, you know what I'm saying, just to keep us distracted from what's really going on with us. I see a little hope in the fact that people are really starting to wake up and pay attention and do their research. You know, our numbers are growing. For a long while, it seemed like people weren't interested, you know, but we see activists coming out every day. They might not necessarily be Panthers, and they might necessarily follow, they may not necessarily follow the 10-point platform, but their heart is in the right place, their mind is in the right place, and we're seeing it more and more and more and more. So the games are getting less distracting. You know what I mean? The programming ain't working as good as it used to be. So I kind of feel like there is a hope, but at the same time, like you just said, us doing our civic duty and actually showing up for our peers and being part of those juries, that's something we're really not doing to the level that we should. And it's absolutely important, and I just think it's critical to recognize that the Panthers already, I mean, in the time immemorial when they wrote these when they wrote this 10-point platform in the first place, these words are still relevant. And they had the forethought and, you know what I'm saying, the future vision to see everything that was coming because they were still dealing with it then. And it's just kind of crazy to me that anything that we address as black people, like in dealing with this white supremacy system, we can still find a relevant clause in the 10-point platform that tells us this is what we need to be doing. And that's why political education is so important. And with that, I'll yield.
Right on.
Like,
right on.
With,
another
problem that we have.
I was just going to make a quick point,
say
brother
another
Isaiah,
issue.
And then go ahead.
I was going to say another issue that we have is that some of these killer cops, these race soldiers out here, they being slick, and they opt for a trial by judge instead of being a trial, you know, by jury. And we know that some of these judges are as much on the take as some of these race soldiers are. So that's like in the case of Akilah Jackson, the 12-year-old girl that was run over by a cop and killed. And the cop opted for a judge trial instead of a jury trial, and the judge let him go. This happened in St. Louis County, Missouri. The judge's name is Scott McMillan.
Mm-hmm. McGillin, I was reading about
Judge
that.
Scott Milliken. He's the one. He let that cop go. Preston Marcotte. That's the cop. He let him go. And so that's another thing that we have to really get into the system about and maybe get some of, you know, I wouldn't know how to go about it, but maybe I would, get some of our own people elected as judges in these places, get some of our own people, you know, that we vetted, people that we know are actually going to work for the people, you know, put them in places of power where we can start to make a difference. So, you know, that's another thing, another roadblock that they put in front of us as far as us getting our justice the way that we should be getting justice. And if we remember the old black oath, it says, you know, that's one of the things we need. We need to have justice across the board. You know, we need to have an actual fair justice system. The system right now is not fair to us. You know, we're always behind the end ball when it comes to this system. And on that, I yield.
I agree, brother. And I must speak on that because St. Louis is my backyard. My general lives in New Orleans, but I am... His field marshal is a St. Louis resident to this day, born and raised. So I absolutely understand where you're coming from. But again, I must revert to the 10-point platform. Number 7, we want an immediate end to police brutality and murder of black people. Now, as black people, we already know what this system is. We already understand what it does to us. We already understand the injustice we get. But at the points I pointed out earlier, and you pointed out, if we did our civic duty, if we had the education to understand how this system works, and we demanded an end to police brutality, which are all in the 10-point platform, we would be in a much better position. I think one of the maybe the most important out of the three is the education, and that's what we're doing right now, right? Educating our people on what they need to do to actually get the justice that we've been protesting and marching for. Now, some Panthers have different ideologies when it comes to the actual protests. Some of us are more militant and we just ready to get it popping, right? But if we were to educate our people, all of our people, and we all understood like we did, because like I said, that's another thing we lost on the civil rights movement, is that all our people were on the same page. This system has dumbed us down to the point where we're literally doing what we're doing right now, right? And the thing is, we're talking among people who already understand, but we need to reach the people who don't understand. So when we're put in that position and they try to grab one of us out just to be the token, and we've seen it a million times, they grab one of us out just to be the token to say, oh, it's fair because we had a black person on the jury. We need that black person to be educated and politically educated. Back in the 60s, you didn't have no choice but to be politically educated if you were black. Back in the 50s, back in, you know what I mean? Like, the older and the farther you go back, it seems like the better our people were with knowing what's going on. But today, as I said earlier, we're so distracted with all the other things that are programming us, that the political education just is not there. I may be the youngest person on this call, and that's okay with me. But as Brother Harold was saying, he has a passion for the younger, because they are the future, right? So they have all these social media apps, and they have all these just mundane things to distract you from what's really going on in the world. When once upon a time, if you were a black person, you had no choice but to pay attention. Our children are paying attention. Our younger generation is not paying attention. And that's why I applaud Brother Harold so much, because if we don't capture the minds of the ones coming behind us, then everything we're doing is for naught. It means nothing. You know what I mean? It's just once we pass on and we move, transition to the next phase of whatever this thing is, they're going to be lost. And then we lose. So everything that we're putting our life on for today means nothing. That's why political education is so important, because the Panthers, even before I was born, addressed all the issues that we're dealing with right now. You feel me? So if we can just those 10 points, if we can get people to understand what we mean by that, like if we had our own land, so to speak, if we had our own land, we wouldn't have to worry about them governing us. If we had our 40 acres and our 2 mules, we wouldn't have to worry about what they got to say. Just like the Indians do on the reservation, you have no authority here. We judge each other. That goes back into being judged by a jury of your own peers. But we can't be judged by a jury of our own peers as long as we're still suckling at the teat of white supremacy. You get what I'm saying? Like, it just don't make sense the way we're moving now. And sometimes I feel like we're moving farther and farther away from the goal. And then other times, like when we went down to Kentucky, it makes me feel like, okay, we might be right there. You know, it's kind of hard to tell sometimes when you look at what's going on in the world. But then there's other times when we have these massive protests and we see young people out in the street that we're like, okay, we might be there. But then again, you know, so that's why we got this. That's literally why every point in the 10-point platform is important, because every point addresses what we're going through today. If you can't find it in point number one, it might be in point number seven. But you feel me? It's every day when you look at what we're going through as a people, all of it has already been addressed. There's nothing. There's really nothing we can bring up that we go through now that Huey and Bobby didn't go through. You know, and I know that may be that may sound defeatist to some people, but at the same time, they understood the struggle that we have. We understand the struggle that we have. And if we could actually exercise it, because let's not get it twisted. The police came up and shot up Black Panther headquarters all over this country. Like, we know what they did. We know what they did to Fred Hampton in Chicago. And the Panthers didn't even start in Chicago. You know, So this has been going on all over the country. They're trying to knock us down for a reason, because they understand if we actually get this platform off, it's game over. And that's what we need to really be pushing for, because there's nothing new under the sun. I hate to say that, but it's very true when it comes, especially when it comes to Black revolutionary struggle. It's all been addressed already, and if we could just get on point and get it done, it's game over for white supremacy.
Black Power, I'm glad you said that, Phil Marshall.
Right, Black Power.
If I could jump in real quick, caller 9629, if you would like to jump in, please press the 1 so that I will see you into the queue and I can open up your mic. And my brother, to what you were saying to address that, and then, brother, I'm going to let you speak. That goes back to my point of Black first. Honestly, if we put us first, we stop losing. If we put us first, we win. And we don't put us first enough. We put every other condition, we put every other circumstance before our circumstances, before our conditions. When that damn church burned down over in France, that didn't have a damn thing to do with us. But if you was up and down social media, all you see was pray for France, pray for France. Our brothers and sisters right now who are Haitian are going through a situation, but you don't hear us or see us on social media talking about pray for Haiti. We're not extending that same compassion, and we're not extending that same benefit of the doubt to our own. And that's why I always say Black first, because when we start taking care of us first, then we don't have to worry about nobody else taking care of us, and we don't have to worry about asking a system that we know ain't going to give us a damn thing for nothing. It's time for us to stop begging and doing what we need to do, which is relying on each other, which is moving in the same direction with each other. And that 40 acres and 2 mules, even better than that. We don't need they hand downs. We can make our hand ups, because see, a hand down ain't nothing but enough to keep you where you at. A hand up is to get you past where you at and where you want to go. And we got to start looking at giving each other a hand up instead of a hand down. And on that, I'm going to yield and open up 9629 and let you get in. Please introduce yourself. The floor is yours. Welcome to the big picture.
Hello? Hello?
Peace. Peace, yes, you're on, brother. Introduce yourself, and the floor is yours.
Okay. My name is Brother Christopher Francois. I'm in the New Orleans chapter with Brother Son and Brother Sidman and I. We've been out here trying to get everything together. Black Power with that, I'm certain with it.
Black Power, brother.
My main thing that I want to address, I ain't really been in a conversation long. Brother send me a text at the beginning, because you always might have something fruitful to deliver just in a more action-oriented manner, you know. But what I would like to bring to y'all attention is appreciate y'all giving me an opportunity to talk and meet with everyone. That's a blessing. Everybody doing good, staying safe out here with all this COVID and the economy trying to recover. So I hope everybody making out good with that. Listening and everything. But one thing I want to bring in, so our hand up, right? And this is, acknowledgement of ourselves. And how we do that is paying dues monthly, getting more strategy with the dues, giving the economy and people ain't working and stuff, and get everybody to start paying weekly dues like $5. And then on the $5 weekly dues, at a certain point, after I feel like a year into everybody here, everything that they invested into it, I would deliver the funds up amongst the people that invest. Only the people that invested into it could receive some of the money back. Not all of it, but say like a nice one-third, maybe at a meeting one time a year, give them like a portion of their money back so these people I could see. You know what I'm saying? They need, you know, like a distressed brother or sister fund or somebody need and you assist them, like, for the hurricane, they had a couple of people breaking down during Ida. You know, you want to be equipped, but if we have the funds developed and built up, do that. In the event that they don't have the funds, we can put them in a position to make the funds. And that will be dealing with not mostly selling raffles to the brother, but getting us to go out and sell stuff. Like, I like the way the Nation of Islam, the FOI, go out selling bags of fruit. And that's basically to fund us. If someone is in distress, that money is available to them, given a vote and unanimous rule, and they could get the assistance so they don't be like, well, they putting money up and they ain't seeing nothing come back. You got people putting $5 up a week, some may can't afford that, giving kids and different responsibilities. So that's why I say, like, after, like, every year, give them, like two-thirds, one-third. Only money they get back is the money that they put in. So it's not like it's like a savings account. Just a portion of it, not all of it, because you want to keep the pot full in case somebody really in dire need, like a sister or brother need a phone bill. That should be available to them, given the work that they're doing to build it up is for all of us. But as a more collective amount, the amount will be more pretty much a little bit bigger than what they put in because you got other people that's agreeing to give them a portion of their $2 or $3. You know, you got 10 people giving up $3, that's a lot of money as opposed to her just three. You know what I'm saying? So it's like everybody helping each other in a sense. It brings a sense of closeness, you know, because, you know, you can't give, you know, people, okay, you got to do this or you got to do that, and they ain't benefiting from it. And I was even trying to talk to Brother Sedman, like even the brothers that sisters that meet up, like every time we have an event or something going down where we meeting up or we congregate, the brothers getting paid a percentage. It don't have to be 100. It could just be $25 for coming out. Every time they meet up, they get 25. That's an income. But the money coming from all us putting our money together every week, $5 a week. You see what I'm saying? So we funding ourselves. You know what I'm saying? You know, brothers come out there, they meet, they get a portion for coming out there. You know, because they got, you don't know how they got. Some people got to catch a bus, Uber, you know what I'm saying, catch a ride, pool. So a lot of, huh?
I'll revert to you on this in general, but that sounds like the job. That does this brother sound like he need to be a treasurer, huh?
Yeah, I'm pretty excited with it. What he's speaking on is group economics. And a lot of organizations operate in that fashion, and it works.
Right. And we could also use same mentality with group economics. Right, we could use that group economics to decrease our numbers. Because once people start receiving an incentive for every time they come out, and it's their same money, that's the thing. They're receiving their money back for coming out. He pays $5 a week, $20 a month. He come out to an event or two. We give him $20 back, $25. He's receiving his money back. But he's receiving it for a cause to support the greater good of the movement of what we're trying to do. You know, and that makes people, it motivates people like, well, damn, I went to work. I spent all my money on my bills. I might as well go ahead and help the Panther. That's 25. You see how they think? You know, speaking in terms of helping someone, at the same time, they helping the general goal of the, you know, what we're trying to do. They really fighting for
us. Brother definitely sounds like a treasurer.
With their money. You know, and the people, you'll be surprised how big we'll grow fast. Everybody going to be, because they're looking like we're doing one thing, we're providing jobs. Here's the income. They're putting in and they're getting out. You know what I'm saying? And having somebody that's trustworthy because, the vote on it. If everybody who's putting in, that's the only people have a vote on. If you're putting in, you got to vote. If you don't put in, you can't, ain't too much faith. And in fact, it's so serious about the money, if you're putting in, we can't even pay you if you're not putting in. Because that's money from everybody else, you know. We got to have a vote. Some people won't get their money up to somebody and you ain't putting in. That's selfish. That's wrong. You want to get the money to the people that's putting their money in, you know. And that'll pretty much get everybody on the same accord with money. You're going to have sisters come there like, well, I had to stop and come to a meeting. They're going to respect the meeting because you get paid for coming. Whether it's $5, $10, no matter what, you're getting something out of the meeting. And that's going to encourage them to come. If they have caught a pool ride, they can pop the person off. You know, it generally brings us together. You know what I'm saying? So that'll be one. That'll be one aspect of it. And then also, if we build a pot up to a certain degree, we could start opening up businesses. For a juice bar to get a Subway right now, it only costs like $10,000. If our numbers increase and we faithfully apply the money from all people, all you need is 40 people. 40 people, that will guarantee $25,000 to $3,000 a month, $5 a week, $3,000 a month. In like 3 or 4 months, we'll have enough money to buy a Subway. The Subway is going to be nothing but like $10,000, $11,000. That's not a lot of money.
I'm glad you said that, Brother Drew.
And we could use that money up to fund the brothers who come in who need jobs. We get a brother or sister, oh, we ain't got no work. Oh, you come to the right place, sister. We just say all the Black Panthers put our money together. We got us a subway now. What? Yeah, you're going to get paid $8.59, but you got a job. You know, and if you wanted to really pump, we could get the subway in a position to where we could have it over 24/7. And that money is generally going to the Panthers. And for all those involved, we get, when it's time for them to go out somewhere or take a march or go out to stand and support something, they look like money. You know, they're more in ranks. They're more, got more esteem about themselves because they got money already. We provide financial support to the family. So you're going to make people want to be a Panther. It's similar to like when the Nation of Islam started. People wanted to be there because the Nation of Islam was providing food, shelter, or some sort of basic necessity. You know, it makes people will be inspired, like, damn, I want to be like them, you know. But, you know, and that's where you can apply the rules. Oh, man, you know, the rules going to be major. And, you know, knowing what the purpose of the people initially joining the Panthers don't come to play, like, why are you here? What's your purpose for being, for wanting to join the Panthers? Because once you know their purpose, you know a better way on how to deal with them because you know why they're in it. You know, and this is the level I was kind of on with Brother Stepman. He a real good brother. He's very, very disciplined. He's very supportive, and he's really out for his people. So this is the type of attitude that I was talking to with Brother Stepman. And getting everybody on the same path, on the same page. Everybody making money, and there's more money floating around. And when you come out, even come out for a meet, just a meet, and you're getting popped over. Somebody's going to, everybody that comes there, if they got a large number, and we ain't got a lot, because you don't want to give everybody everything you got. They're just getting a portion. You know, you come out, how you doing with y'all? What we getting tonight? We have a vote on what everybody getting, because we don't want to break our pot paying y'all for attendance. You know, that's one of the incentives here. You know, we know everybody got a busy life, and nobody won't really waste time talking about what we're going to do and how we're going to do it, but yet it's just all talk. You know, people got bills. You know, so that'll kind of see.
I appreciate you.
Huh?
I just want to add, and shine some light on what that would mean in the fact that group economics and collective buying is a part of the Black Code. It's something our host, he's hosting the platform, our comrade, Brother Melvin, and I spoke on earlier. So thank you so much, Brother Chris. And I look forward to seeing you again. You ran this by me before, and yeah, you have the floor. Thank you, bro. You have anything else you want to add,
if I could jump in real quick, because like you just stated, yeah, we did speak on that, and I thoroughly believe in group economics. You know, I had a brother on the show a couple of weeks ago who's involved with the Guerrilla Mainframe here in Dallas, Texas, and the New Black Panther Party and the Huey P. Newton Gun Club. And these are groups that I'm just now starting to network with. But my brother Rakim Balagoon, who, if you don't know, he was one of the, if not the only person to ever, that I have done my research, and he's the only person that I have found that has been arrested for being a black identity extremist. And when this brother was on my platform a couple of weeks ago, that's what we were talking about.
I heard about
the brick and mortar, the land. And see, this brother, this is a solid young brother. And I give him all my respect and props, because I respect all younger brothers that I see trying to make a change, because at the age I'm at, I want to see a change, you know. So it is up to us to get involved in every arena. And like we were talking the other day, Brother Q, that we have people who are wise and knowledgeable in every aspect. We have doctors, lawyers. I'm involved in transportation. We have everything we need, teachers. We have all that. We got to put it
engineers,
together.
Engineers, architects,
so work. Exactly. All of that. We have the intellect to do what we need to do. It's just about bringing it together to work for us, because what we have done effectively is we've allowed our person to be effective for everybody else's cause except ours. And that's why I say it's important for us
to bring ourselves together and put our money to work for us. So I agree with the brother. I preach this all the time. You know, we have got to make our money work for us so we can sit down and rest. Because everybody's resting on us right now. We made everybody rich except us, except ourselves. You know,
with
this time that we put our intellect, exactly. We need to put our intellect to work for us. And then, too, I want to backdoor that with what I said earlier about the Birmingham boycott, 381 days of us coming together, doing what needed to be done, and not just some, but everybody participated, and they carpooled, and they walked, and did whatever they had to do together to make that work. And 381 days, just a little over a year, they affected the whole economy of Birmingham, and the city of Birmingham had to do what? Bow down and respect them brothers and sisters' wishes and let us sit where we want to sit on these damn buses, because it's honestly not that important what white supremacy tries to hold on to. It's just that they want to hold on to it. With Donald Trump, make America great again, that's trying to hold on to the white supremacy rule. And what we need to do, like I was telling you the other day, Brother Q, and like I just stated a minute ago, stop coming together for these situations when they happen and start being together to eliminate them from happening. And on that, I'm going to yield.
Okay. Thank you, Brother Melvin. To go ahead and get everything get started on a group economic plan, the first thing we would have to do is identify a central committee who I would say, Brother Chris, we would have to have you as the a part of a central committee in the Treasury Department, because you've been espousing what you just articulated for some time, and we've sat and talked about it a number of times, and I agree with it, but that there's a proper procedure to go through to get it put into effect, to where there's transparency, to where there's integrity in the system, and there's oversight in order to see to it that there are no, the integrity of the program is intact. Now, that's part of the Black Code, and the number one thing on here, because living in the capitalist society, a lot of our brothers and sisters have reluctance serve our community when there's a state profit interest, involved. So, and that's fair. So that's the reason why the procedures have to be properly followed. So in the Black Code, it says we do not steal from one another, we do not kill one another, we do not sell or offer drugs to one another. We do not combine our dollars, and buy collectively as a group. So we buy collectively as a group. We do combine our dollars, and we protect our own women and children first. We educate our own at every chance. We do not fight one another. Brothers protect and build up one another. Sisters protect and build up one another. Brothers protect and build up sisters. Sisters protect and build up brothers. We look for every opportunity to start our own business, servicing the need of our own people first. Staying on code is something that it's really got to get in our attitude, brothers and sisters. It's got to get in our demeanor. It's got to get in the gossip we choose to entertain, the rumors that float around that. It serves no one to go off code and repeat something disparaging about another individual for whatever reason, because staying on code, staying in step, and constantly being reminded of our purpose to begin with kind of eliminates, it really eliminates half of
the concerns outside of, you know, just on a daily basis, risking life, liberty, and, you know, livelihood. So, you know, with that, peace and black power.
Black power. I really got to
right
really want to respond to what you just said, brother.
Go ahead, brother, because I want to. We got about we got about 10 minutes left, and I want to give everybody an opportunity to chime in.
Yeah.
You know, before the show ends. So go ahead, brother, and then after you get done, I'll give the other brothers on the line a chance to chime in. And I want to say this, because after y'all chime in, I'll probably just do my little closing commentary. But I appreciate you, brothers. And I want to let y'all know that this is my platform, and this is where I do my thing. And I would like to have you brothers call back in on a Monday when you are available, when I'm talking about any other subject, because I like the realness. And what we need to do is fix each other. We got to heal each other. Like Pac said, I say this all the time. I agree with what he said. It's time for us to be real with each other and heal each other. And we all need healing because we are all sick out here. We suffering because of what we're going through. And, yes, what we see every day on a daily basis is enough to make you mentally not right. It's enough to make you have that feeling of defeatedness. Not fear, but defeated, because you don't even – when you defeat it, you don't even feel like you have a chance. So we got to get past that. And, brother, I'm going to shut down. I'm going to yield on that, and I'm going to give everybody a chance to go around. And, like I say, I appreciate you, brothers. I love you, brothers. Peace, power, and love to each and every one of you.
Black power. Black power. Oh, it's on me, or... Okay, well, I'm going to chime in for
brother.
A brief second. All I want to say is this, just 1 second. The way to get an attitude difference from our people, given the state of the economy, is to provide money. That's the only problem we have. And to provide an economic base where we can make progress. Every month, we should have a general goal. Once we get everybody paying in, we got to come to agreement on where we're going to spend the money we accumulated to advance the goals of the Panthers, as well as the economic state of the people. Do y'all want to get a little renaissance? Do y'all want to go into business and get us one vending machine? Because that vending machine can provide capital to when these brothers meet up. Every time they meet up, we can have agreement amongst everybody paying how much you're going to pay. I promise y'all, when y'all get a nice flow of money flowing to these people coming to the Panthers, when you start talking about the rules and the order, you're going to see getting in line, because they're getting paid for doing this. You know, people going to be like, man, I'm about to go to my meeting while I'm getting popped off. You feel me? They're going to look forward to it because they can provide food for the kids. You got some brothers that don't even make that type of money a week, probably $50, $60 a week. And to add another $25 on to that, he's coming. You know, he get paid for his service to his people. You know what I'm saying? That's all I wanted to say. You know, you would notice a big difference when people start having a little bit more to go around in their house. You know, so that's all I wanted to say. I got some good ideas to help brothers get whatever they want to start off, and we have money for brothers without coming out of our pocket at all to pay them. Getting one vending machine, we all put together, get one, rent it out. Keep food in it. Every brother who get on, we let them take turns going to see what a vending machine, let them stuff in it, get their little money, and whoever over the economic department, we have a vote. Every 30 days, we swap people, let everybody get a taste of it, because whoever over the economic part, we can agree to how much money he going to get, because that'll keep him from going in there. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
You know, it's all ran by helping somebody. Everybody going to build off. Everybody going to benefit. So there's never nobody over the treasury 4 years and you worry about him doing something they don't like. And no, we swap up. Everybody in the organization will be in that position, from the highest to the lowest. You could just come in and it fell on you. You about to learn something new. You know? So it's pretty fun, bro. It's all about growing and helping your brother out any kind of way you can. So that's all I have to say. Let somebody else kick in. I ain't going to try to go long-winded. But black power, brother.
Black power. I guess I'll step in for a second and get a general the final word. That brother sound like a treasurer to me. That's what I'm hearing. I don't know about anybody else, but that brother sound like he been thinking about this on the financial side, so he sound like a treasure to me. I just feel like it's a blessing to talk to you, brother. Brother Melvin, I appreciate your platform. We spoke a little bit earlier, and I was in a certain type of way about the way things are going in my life right now. But just talking to you, brother, is a confirmation that I'm on the right page and I'm doing the right thing and that this all going to turn out the way I hope it turned out. So I want to say peace and black power to all y'all, and it's a Field Marshal Mint, Field Marshal Jesson checking out.
Peace and black power. Was there anyone else that wanted to weigh in?
Brother Ozzy? You want to give a last word, brother?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I had my phone on mute, but I wanted to say...
I know how you operate, brother. I already know how you operate, brother, and we've been doing this a minute.
It's been a very informative program, good. And I appreciate all my brothers out here trying to, put the word out and get our people together. And I just want everybody to know that that the president Biden, he's put us on notice that he's not doing anything about these killer cops out here. So I want everybody just pay attention to that. There's been no police brutality bill passed. There's been, no type of police reform passed. They're giving more money to the cops, So my thing is that, our people should be aware, and I'm hoping everybody realizes that this is a war that we're in. We're in a war. And he put the cops on notice that he's still not going to do nothing about, reversing whatever the Trump pans he put in. So, don't be fooled by these politicians when they bring me this BS out here. It's the same old, same old. And we keep telling our people that. And it's time to really get focused on ourselves and start doing our own thing behind the scenes. Because it doesn't matter who's in power. We the people. We the grassroots. We still have the power. And with that, I'm going to yield. Black power.
Black power.
I like that.
Black.
I like that.
Yes.
So it goes, Brother Q,
yes,
you
sir.
Have Sorry. You have the next to the last word, brother. You go ahead, brother.
Okay. Yeah, I just want to say revolutionary love to each and every person who chimed in into a Brother Ozzy's point when it came down to Joe Biden not actually doing anything. Like ending qualified immunity, like passing the George Floyd bill, getting it signed into law, and so on. It's the same good cop, bad cop that they play with us. So with that being said, we are being oppressed because we're bent over. If we continue to stand, if we speak up and stand up and move on those things that we find so so offensive and obviously so unjust, then I think that we will be sleeping a lot better at night. And if nothing else, we deserve a clear conscience because we validation is for the insecure. We have to do and live according to the principles that we espouse. With that, thank you all. Peace and black power, all power to the people.
Black power, all power to the people.
All right, all power to the people. This has been one for the records. I want to once again thank you, brothers, for joining me tonight. I want to thank you for the message. I want to thank you for the information, because closing, like I always say, it's time to plan, which is have a plan of action. It's time to organize, which is bringing ourselves together for a common cause, and unification. comes with the first two steps. And with those three steps in line, with those three steps in line, we have built a nation unknowingly, because planning, organization, unity, and a nation will follow, because a nation is being built. And those are just my three keys. And I know that there are numerous other keys that can be put in that door to unlock it. But the main key is to keep putting that key in and having that brother that's beside you, because I say we all have a key here in our head and in our heart. Because, see, I might be at the door, but I might not have the key to unlock it. But, see, if I got my brother right there beside me, see, he might have that knowledge to unlock that door that I can't unlock. See, then we start knocking these doors down. And that is my mission. That should be what everybody's mission should be. Because I say we all possess a skill. We all possess a talent. We all possess the ability to be leaders. We just have to take our position. And once we start taking our positions in these leaderships, no matter how small, how large, because, see, what we have to stop doing is bickering amongst each other. What we have to start doing is recognizing that I may not have as much talent and skill as that brother standing next to me, but that brother is on my team. That brother's working for the same common cause. So we can't hate each other when we're trying to go the same direction. And we got to kill the Willie Lynch. See, we got to kill that feel nigga, house nigga mentality. And until we can kill it and let it go, like I said earlier, we got to fix the internal before we can even begin to correct the external. So we got work to do. And I'm glad that this call happened, because that just reinforces my motive and my vigor. And that lets me know that what I'm doing is for the good. And see, like I said earlier, it's more power in the people than there is people in power. Hey, I'm out of time. This has been the Panther Party Radio Network, The Big Picture, with Brother Melvin Sheary Jr. And I appreciate everybody for listening online. I appreciate everybody that called in. You brothers, I ain't got nothing. Listen to me when I say this right here, because it's from the spirit. I ain't got nothing but love for you, because we got to love one another so that we can love one another. And then we start moving. And like I always say in closing, it's time to plan, organize, and unify, because we all have a key. I'm out. Peace, power,
peace,
and
peace,
nothing
brother.
But love.
Black power.
Black power.
Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big
policy. Somebody get paid just to polish it. Look the devil right in the eyes and won't acknowledge it. For some it's automatic that they turn into some college kids. But my kind won't make it out the hood without a scholarship. Faced with adversity that some will never understand. Why be in denial when you know you had the upper hand? Clan used to rally downtown in my city, and you wonder why the race relationship's so shitty. Show no pity, that's the motto of the PC. It ain't just my city, it's all over the TV. Martin Luther King, I think about the dream he had for a nation that turned him less than 6 feet. And I ain't saying that the government sent a hit, but the timing show make it a coincidence. I try to see the big picture through a small frame, and never take no wooden nickels when they all change.
I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture.
I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture's worth a thousand words. So when your words ain't visible, it calls concern. I live and learn to the point where I can see it coming. The loudest mouth in the room ain't really about nothing. That nigga bluffing, check his resume, it ain't legit. You know the one that bought the ocean but ain't got a ship. You know the one that bought the sixes but ain't got a whip. You know the one that bought the Tech 9 and ain't got a clip. These boys a trip, I done heard it all, seen it all before. Boys be more like shaved ice when they claim they Tony Snow. Say they Don Juan and got passport bitches. But why you in the club with them trash bags with you? Say you out there ballin' and you're coming up quick, but it ain't worth having things if you can't own shit. MC Bree told you ain't no future, no frontin'. Keep that shit to Birdman with all of that stunt. Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture.